and she'll be able to function again and get out and do things. Obviously, it's a symptom of something wrong, and so we pray that the dizziness or the vertigo would cause her to find out what she's doing or what's happening that needs to be corrected so that she doesn't keep falling over. And so we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Genesis. The earliest scripture about the gospel is Genesis 3:15. The earliest scripture about the gospel is Genesis 3:15. Now, I want you to follow me closely today, and the way to do that is don't assume you know something. Assume you're going to be taught something. And then just write it down like a little child until you get the categories real clear. Because if you do that, the Bible will change on you. You'll see something where people are confused because they never listened to the words. And I would say 100%, but I'll just say 90%, 95% have confused themselves over this scripture. So, let's listen very carefully because it will open your eyes. And the Lord God said to the serpent. So, whatever he's going to say is related to the serpent. Are we all set?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 15. I will put enmity. The word iba in the Hebrew means enmity. Now, something that's an enmity is not just different. Two balls, one red, one green. Both balls have something in common. Something in enmity means totally opposite, opposed to each other in every way. So I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. But it doesn't start out that way. It says between thee and the woman. Okay? So he's speaking not to the woman, he's speaking to the serpent. I will put enmity. You will always be enemies. The snake and the woman. So remember that this is a serpent, a reptile. I will put enmity between you and the serpent. Just don't forget that. Then comma, between your seed and her seed. Two different seeds. What would be a seed of a serpent? What would be a seed of a serpent? If you were a serpent and you had some seed, what would that seed look like? Little serpents. That would be the egg producing little serpents. But snakes are not eggers. They're live birthers. So they put out little snakes. Right? Don't they? Some. Anyway, doesn't matter. However they get the seeds, they're serpents. In other words, the serpent is going to have some brood. And if you're a viper, you get a brood of vipers. That's all there's to it. So, Don't think, well, I understand that. Think about that for a second. A brood of vipers coming out of a serpent, that's the seed of the serpent. It's not the serpent, it's the serpent's brood, the seed. And that could go generation after generation. So a rattlesnake will produce more rattlesnakes. An asp will produce more asps, and so on. And the woman's seed. Now who's the woman's seed? Who's the woman's seed?
Human
beings. Wrong. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's not human beings. That's what everyone would think. Who is the woman's seed? Jesus. Only Jesus. One seed. That is amazing, because I know she had a Cain and Abel, but those are not her seed. The woman's seed is only Jesus. The serpent's seed is everybody else. So whose seed are we? Whose seed are we? Who is the woman's seed? Now, I know this is so extreme that You can't imagine that's what it's saying, but I'm going to prove it. That there's only two seeds. There's the woman's seed, and there's the serpent's seed. And those two seeds are at enmity. There's an enmity between the woman's seed and the serpent's seed. Now, I thought I was from the woman. That's obvious. Wrong. Now, I'll prove it. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it. What does it refer to? It shall bruise. It shall bruise. Remember, he's talking to the serpent. It shall bruise. Who is the it? It's Jesus, but he's a he. It shall bruise. It shall bruise. Because, yes, it's Jesus, but right here he's not called Jesus. He's called woman's seed. It, the woman's seed. But listen carefully. And it shall bruise thy head. Who is the head of the serpent? And so you see a serpent, and if you grab its tail, its head will turn around and bite you. So you don't want to grab it by the... I've seen snake handlers. And if they grab it by the tail, they got to be careful, so they have to lift it up. Otherwise, the head will get them. So they have to hold it way out here. Oh, whoa, whoa. And they're holding it. But if you grab it by the head, just right behind the head, it can't do anything because you got a hold of it. So when they grab it by the tail and hold it up, and then they put their hand on the head or maybe a rake or put their foot, then they grab it by the head, it can't do anything. It's totally harmless. So it, the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman, it, you know what? It is singular. It is not plural. That's why this seed of the woman is one. And now, to prove that, look at the next sentence, or the next phrase. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. One. And it's a he. So now we know who the it is. The seed of the woman is a singular, and it's a he. There's only one seed of the woman. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before. But there's enmity between the seed of the woman and the serpent's seed. But the serpent's seed is multitudes. And we are of that serpent. Now I'm going to show you why. I'm going to show you how you have to be serpent's seed with enmity against Jesus, and Jesus with enmity against you. Because the woman's seed, Jesus, who's going to step on the head of the serpent and crush it, has enmity against all the brood of Satan. I mean, whoever Satan, the head of the serpent, whoever that is, Satan is the ancient serpent, but the head of it's Satan. Jesus is going to step on his head. We'll know who the Messiah is because he's going to be that it, that he. He will step on it, and the serpent will bite his heel. So the minute he steps on the serpent bites him, and then he crushes the little head. Oh, what? Wow. He steps right on it. But the serpent bit him. The serpent, the head of the serpent, bites Jesus. The head of the serpent. So one of the little snakes could do it, but you got to stop the head guy. So he, it, will crush the serpent's head. So whoever that is, that Jesus, that Messiah, that seed, has to do that. I can't do it. Why? I'm a serpent. I can't do it because I'm a serpent. I'm a serpent. That is, you and I are all born not of Eve. You are not a child of Eve. She's only got one seed. He. It. I thought I was from Eve. I thought Cain and Abel were from Eve. From God's point of view, ain't so. From God's point of view, the only seed of the woman is Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Now keep this clear. I know you don't like what I said because it doesn't make sense to your brains. But don't think about your brains. Think what God is teaching you here. Eve's seed in the Bible always the woman's seed is always him, it, Jesus. Now, I know you're wondering, well, how do we get into that deal? But I don't want to discuss that right now. I want to discuss how you start out as the serpent's seed with enmity between you. Ebal. Remember I said Ebal, that is the enmity or the quarrel or the fight. And there can be no compromise. Either he wins or we wins. We'll bite his heel, he'll crush our head. So we'll see who's going to win. All right, now I got to find out which one I'm part of, because he's only a singular. I'm a plural. You know, I don't think I'm the guy. Cain thought he'd be the guy. Cain thought that. How many know that Cain assumed he was going to be the woman's seed? He, you know, naturally his mom told him, "Well, one of my seed." It's obviously me. It's not my puny brother. It's obviously me. I'm the oldest, firstborn. I'll crush the serpent's head. But I know Cain wasn't it, because he ended up crushing his brother's head. Well, so that's not really getting rid of the head of the serpent. He crushed his brother's head. That's a little mistake. I would say it looks like Cain is a serpent's seed. Did you follow me on that? So, even though he's Eve's son by natural birth, he is not her child. You know what Chava in the Hebrew means? Remember, Adam named his wife. God named Adam. Adam. Dirt. Blood. Dama. Dam. Dam means red or dirt. Or blood. Okay, so he named Adam. But he said, "Adam, now you name your wife. Mother of all living." So who is the seed of the woman? Mother of all living. He gave her that hopeful name. You will be the mother of all living. Isn't that amazing? Hava, in the Hebrew, Hava. It's soft. Hava, like a woman. Adam. That's not soft. Adam. You know, that's hard. But how? See, she's like soft, not hardy, like guys. A dumb. Why is she called not blood, not, you know, red? Why is she called mother of all living? Because her seed, only her seed, will be alive. Whoever her seed is will be alive. You remember Jesus, when he came, he said, "I came that you might have life." Well, apparently we didn't have life. Apparently we weren't of Hava. Because Jesus gave us life. Isn't that amazing? So the mother of all living turns out to be just Jesus. He is the one she's talking about. And he came to give us, who? The serpent's seed, life. That's amazing. That's amazing. Because I thought I was the seed of the woman. I was born of Adam and Eve. I thought I was the seed. Not according to God. No, she's the mother of all living. You're not living. Why? Because you sinned. You remember Hava, the one who ate the apple. But even though she ate the apple, she's still going to have living children. But it isn't Cain and Abel. It's going to be, I don't know. They haven't told me in this scripture. How will I find out what seed I am? How will I find out who this seed is? How will I find out how I get in? But I know one thing. Jesus had life in him, and he gave life. So, If you were born a serpent, apparently you can get born again. Isn't that neat? You can be a serpent by nature, but you can actually become the seed of the woman by spiritual faith. By believing in him, if you believe in him. Now, you didn't do anything for that. You're just believing in him. So Eve's seed is Jesus and anyone who believes in Jesus. That's the only way you can get in. Then you are not the brood of vipers. You remember Jesus called somebody a brood of vipers. Do you remember who it was? The Pharisees, the Jewish leaders. He called them snakes. Your father the devil. He said that right to them. Oh, that's your father the devil. You're a brood of vipers. Whoa! I mean, Jesus identified now the serpent's seed. It was the Jewish people. But it wasn't just the Jewish people. It's anybody who will not submit to the law of God. Serpents don't submit. Remember, they're supple, they're subtle. A serpent can... I saw my little pond this morning, something, I don't know what it was. But it went right across the water at a fissure, you know, underneath. And this... And it was so fast, I didn't even get to see what it was. I don't know if it was a little lizard or it was a snake. But what it was so fast, it just went right across. Serpents are supple. Subtle. It was so fast, I couldn't even see what it was. And it's at the far end of the pond, so I couldn't go and look. But that thing was fast. I just saw it so quick. And I was amazed that a snake could go that fast, or even a lizard. I didn't even know if a lizard could walk on water. But this thing, I think, was a serpent. And he was fast. I didn't know serpents could do that. Whatever it was, though, it was fast. So I was kind of amazed. This serpent was more supple, more subtle. Have you ever been supple? Subtle? You know, so subtle that you're saying what seems to be the truth, but it's actually deceptive. You know, you can just, you're right there. I've noticed that. I've noticed that in myself. I can be so deceptive. I can be so supple, so subtle. It's like I said something, but you didn't quite catch it. Anybody like me? I'm supple. I'll answer the question, but I'll answer it the way I want to answer it, and you won't even catch me because the way I say it very cleverly. That's what politicians do. They're supple. Well, we don't want any more taxes. Well, this is not exactly going to be a tax. You know, not exactly. You know, which is just another way of saying it's going to be a tax. But they're supple. They're subtle. Pastors can be like that. Husbands can be like that. Wives can be like that. Children can be like that. Now, little bitty kids are not. They're pretty much open. I hate her. You know, they're just right there. But the older they get, the more supple, the more subtle, the more snake-like they become. Did you take that? You know, right away, they just give them, little kids just give themselves away. Did you eat that cookie? You know, they don't even hide. Little kids just come right out the way they are. You ever notice that about little kids? Who ate that cookie? But an older child will go, they're supple. They're subtle. But a little kid will, you know, he'll go, I did, Mama. And he'll just start crying and give up. He'll just confess right off the beam. Have you ever noticed that about little kids? And so they learn as they go along. Man, I got a whipping for that. I think next time I'll become supple. I want to be subtle. So a lot of our answers in life, we learn from the time we were a little kid, hide, deceive, be like a snake. And we can look so innocent and be so guilty. Now remember, God can see right through all that, but we are so clever that we even outsmart ourselves, thinking, I was clever, I was supple. But you didn't fool anybody. You didn't fool God. And the only one you did fool was other people that are also playing the same game. Snakes. Don't catch snakes. Because they're all snakes. You ever notice that? A supple person won't catch another supple person because he doesn't want his suppleness to be caught. Because the minute he accuses you with the judgment he judges, he will be judged. So people that are supple are careful about that. I don't think I'll catch you right there because I don't want to be asked myself. All right. Now, I'll put enmity. So where's the enmity? It's between two seeds. The serpent's seed, Eve's seed. There's enmity and it's irreconcilable. Irreconcilable. Now, I want to jump all the way to the New Testament. Romans. So let's roam all the way into the New Testament, 8:7. Romans 8:7. You're going to enjoy this when I'm done. I'm saving the best to the last. Ice cream comes last. But it's serious. This is a serious thing. You're going to be blessed by it. But I started out with the hard potatoes. We had to eat potatoes first off. Some spinach, liver, something. Now look at 7. Well, I'll start with... Well, I could start anywhere. But I'll start with 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So he said there's two kinds of mindedness here. You can either be carnally minded or spiritually minded. Now listen to what he says in the 7th verse. Because the carnal mind is enmity. So now there's two kinds of seed. Eve's seed, serpent's seed. And there's two kinds of minds in us. We're either carnally minded or spiritually minded. If you're carnally minded, you're a serpent seed. If you're spiritually minded, you're Eve's seed. You see it? You see this easy connection now between serpent seed, plural, Eve's seed, singular. So then how do I get in? Well, by not being carnally minded. If you're carnally minded, you're serpent seed. But if you're spiritually minded, well, what? I don't get that. How could Jesus be plus me? Easy. Because you're in Him. There isn't you plus Him. There's only Him and you in Him. If you're in Him, you're of Him. And so, wherever He goes, you goes. Whatever He does, you does. Whatever He thinks, you thinks. And so, you and He are one. They're not two. But in the serpents, they're all over the map. But they're all seed of Satan. That's why Jesus could say to him, you're father of the devil. You're father of the devil. You are a brood of vipers. Imagine Jesus, I thought Jesus was just saying that, like, you know, trying to put him down. You brood of vipers. No, he wasn't. He was quoting right out of Genesis 3:15. You are of your father the devil. The head of the serpent, that's the devil. And you are a brood of vipers. You are serpent seed. He's not just saying, yeah, you guys are a bunch of skunks. No, he's not saying that. He's actually referring back to that original idea that there's only two seeds in the world. Eves and serpents. Isn't that amazing? He is so consistent. I thought, up until I started studying this, I thought I was Eve's seed. I did. I thought... Two kinds of seeds, the good guys and the bad guys. I think I'm one of the good guys now. Well, I didn't understand it at all. I wasn't just like a human being. I was a serpent's seed, according to the Bible. According to the Bible. You can only be Eve's seed, which is one, Jesus. Or you can be everybody else, serpent seed. There's no other possibility. I don't like being called a snake, but I was. But I don't know, that just doesn't seem like a good thing to be called. But the Bible says everybody born of woman, everybody born of woman is either Eve's seed, which is one, or serpent's seed, which is everybody else. Well, there it is. So when Mary came along and the angel spoke to Mary, who wasn't immaculately conceived, Mary, regular girl, she was bearing Eve's seed. Mary herself was not perfect. Mary herself was in need of salvation. She even says so. So the Catholics are wrong. Mary was just a regular woman. The only difference was she said, let it be to me according to your word. And God said, you have faith. The angel, God, speaking through the angel, said, let it be to you according to your faith, because your faith was in my word. And that's how you become a seed of Eve. So Mary, who was a serpent seed, believed God and became Eve's seed, but she wasn't the seed. She was putting her faith in Jesus being the seed. She was before Jesus. She was during Jesus. And she was after Jesus. So Mary is an interesting person because she was both before him, during him, and after him. She lived after Jesus was dead. She was there at the cross. And she was still alive. So she was there before his birth. She was there during his whole 33 years. And she was there afterward. So, but she had all her faith, not in herself, as the seed of Eve. She became the seed of Eve. She wasn't born the seed of Eve. Instead of the serpent, she was born a serpent seed. But thanks be unto God, because of the word of God about the serpent, but the Eve's seed gave hope to serpent's seed. Are you still with me? I'm arguing tightly, closely, but not subtly. This is not subtle. It sounds subtle. It's not. It's clear. Very clear. It's only two seeds. Eve couldn't be the seed because Jesus was. Her faith was in the work of Jesus. Because he was the only one. In other words, Jesus is the seed of Eve. And Mary, like me, everybody else in the world, can only become Eve's seed by faith. In him being the only seed. I only become his seed by getting in him. I don't also become the seed. I had to get in him. In other words, I couldn't be Jesus plus Jim all on his own. I couldn't be on my own. I had to be in Jesus. Because he's the only seed. Singular. You remember? Later Paul will make a big deal out of that, is seed, which is singular. He's talking about Abraham there, but he's also talking about the promised Messiah, Eve's seed. I didn't know that. I didn't know the Bible was so consistent. Kind of like, you know, maybe God forgot. No. God remembered from the beginning how he said it right there in the beginning, and he kept that thing going all the way through, and it never, ever got blurry. One like the devil who's blurry. Subtle, liar, deceiver. God's been clear from the beginning. There's only one seed, and you've got to be in him. Otherwise, you're a serpent. So I didn't like, well, I went from neutral. I didn't decide whether I was going to go with Jesus or with the devil. No. It's not like that. You're just born of the devil. Well, wait a minute. I haven't even decided yet. No. It's decided. So that's why people hate Calvin. The faith teachers hate Calvin. Almost everybody hates Calvin. Catholics hate Calvin. All of them hate Calvin because Calvin, who just followed Luther, by the way, but Calvin said man is totally depraved. But he's the one noted for saying in such loud terms, totally depraved. Oh my gosh. That is not good. In other words, he could have said a serpent seed. All men are born sinful. But another way you could say it is, all men are born, not Eve's seed, but serpent seed. That's another way you could say it. Carnally minded. Carnal. Fleshly. Fleshly minded. Carnally minded. Bodily minded. All right, now I've introduced a new term here. Carnally minded is the same as serpent seed. And there's enmity. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Carnal mind, enmity against God. God, Eve's seed, spiritually minded. On the other side, enmity. There's a wall now called enmity. And somebody has to remove that enmity or there's no hope. Right? There's no hope. So somebody got to remove that. Somebody got to take that away because otherwise there's enmity and I'm on the wrong side of the enmity. God's on the other side and I'm on the other side. And God's the author of life. And I'm not going to be alive if I don't get on the other side. Serpents die. So God is wanting me to get life, but how am I going to get it? Because the hope is in the Eve's seed, even for the serpent's seed. All the hope is in that one seed. Not Buddha. Not Muhammad. See, they do it because they do it based on good works, because they think man can be a good work. How can a serpent be anything but a serpent? When a serpent bites you, he's not doing wrong. He's just doing what serpents do. They're at enmity with the woman's seed. In other words, the devil is always hated by, that's enmity, hatred, utter hatred, the Lord Jesus Christ. So who's going to win? The devil bit Jesus' heel, killed him. But Jesus crushed the serpent's head. The minute that the devil won, he lost. Because the minute he bit him in the leg, the poison didn't go up immediately. There was a few seconds in there before the poison hit Jesus, and he just stomped right on the head of that guy. Hey, I've been wondering where you were. There you go. And he just stepped right on him. Because the serpent was right there, gnashed onto him. Jesus just crushed the thing. Well, that's the end of the devil. Now the devil, who's the father of lies, is dead. The devil's dead. Now, I haven't even gotten to the good point yet. I'm just wanting you to follow me so far. I want you to follow me so far. It gets gooder and gooder and gooder. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law. For it is not subject to the law of God. Now, how do I know then who are the children of the devil and who are the children of God? Who are the children of Eve and who are the children of the serpent? Oh, it's easy. The children of God are the ones subject to His law. So, I wasn't born subject to His law. But Jesus, when He came to earth, He subjected Himself to the law of God. He was born under the law. He was born of woman under the law. Remember that? He was born of woman under the law. Jesus was not... He was subject, completely subject to the law. And the law killed him. The law killed Jesus. But why did the law kill Jesus? Since he was subject to the law. Because of the serpent's seed, which was us. We were subject because we weren't subject to the law, so we were subject to death. So Jesus fulfilled the law. Didn't destroy it. He fulfilled it for us so that the law wouldn't be against us. Are you still following me? Are you still following me? It's hard. It's hard to get this. But if you can get this, it'll make all the Bible make sense where it hadn't made sense before. And we went all the way back to the beginning. And we found something odd there, that there's only one seed from the woman. There's just one, Jesus. No Buddha, no Hindu, no Jehovah Witness, just Jesus.
I have still one point of confusion, and that is John. He was born of the seed of the serpent, according to what you said. Mm-hmm. Yet he was filled with the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb. Mm-hmm. Now, how could the Holy Spirit live together with darkness?
I don't know. He must have stayed up all night. Now the answer the answer lies in the prophecy. The answer lies in the prophecy. Because John, he was born, and the Holy Spirit knew him, and he was born, right, by God's will. And so John was born, and you remember his parents spoke something, and God said something when John was born. Because he came in the right time, in the fullness of time, he came in the right time to be the forerunner, to fulfill all Scripture. So John, like Jesus, has a special role. But John is not believing, because they asked him, "Are you the light? Are you the life? In him was life, and in the light was the light of men," and so on. "Are you the life? Are you the light?" He said, "No, I am not." So John was not claiming to be equal to Jesus. John was claiming, "I'm not the light. I'm not the Messiah. I am not the seed. I am not of Eve. I am the serpent's seed. But I have a role to play, and I believe in that role. And I know when I see him, I will know him."
So he's in the same position as Mary.
He's in the same position Mary was. So even though the birth of John took place in an unusual way, that was all prophesied. all for the Messiah. Everything was subordinate to this Messiah. So John was subordinate to the Messiah. God in his foreknowledge just said, he's going to be born and so on and so forth. And so when John came along, John was part of the serpent's seed, but God knew in his foreknowledge that he will become a believer in Jesus, because I'm appointing him to be a herald, and he will believe not in himself, and he will deny that he is the Christ. Well, are you the Christ? Are you the prophet? Or who are you? He said, no, none of those things. I'm not. I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm like a serpent. I'm like the seed of the serpent. But I'm telling you, there's one mightier than I am. There's one greater than I am coming. Right? So John is bearing witness to the serpent's, not to the serpent seed, but to Eve's seed. The seed of Eve is singular. She does not have any other children except the living. John had no life in him. You remember Jesus said, I have life in me. I give my life. I give life to people. I came that you might have life. You can't have it from John. You can't have it from prophets. You can't have it from Abraham. You can't have it. I am the giver of life. I was appointed by God to be the giver of life to all serpent seeds so they can become Eve's seed. But they're going to be Eve's seed because they have to be in me, because I'm the only seed, singular. That's why you can't go to heaven on your own through good works, because you have to be in Him. You have to have a relationship, not works. You have to have a faith relationship to someone you don't see. You don't see Him. You don't see Him. Abraham never saw Jesus, but Jesus said he saw my day. How did he see it? Spiritual. It is spiritualized. His children is not Ishmael. His children is Isaac, because Isaac believed. Isaac believed in the Messiah. Ishmael did not believe in his father's religion. He believed in religion of works. Isaac believed in a religion of faith. Isaac believed that he was a serpent seed. He believed, I'm a serpent seed. In other words, I cannot keep the law. I am not subject to the law. And I just tell you, if God doesn't do it, I'm finished. So everybody who's a Christian is someone that says, I couldn't do it. I didn't do it. But Jesus did it for me. And I'm putting all my faith in Him. That is proof that Jesus is the only seed. There is no other name given in heaven and earth by which we must be saved. He's the one. So I don't know how I got it. I am so amazed to this day. I'm still amazed to this day. I know I do not belong in God's house. I belong in a serpent's, den or whatever. A little pit of snakes. That's where I belong. I know that. And I see evidence of that on a daily basis. Man, you are a snake. You are so supple. You are so subtle. You are so clever. So deceptive. I see that in me. I'll go for my self-interest when no one's looking. And I'll do it so supplely that even I didn't see that I did it. Except that the Holy Spirit said, Jim. What? I just wanted to point out, you just did something for yourself there.
Don't you see, we all do the same way.
We all do the same way. I'm so glad you're here. Yes, thank you. We all do the same way. We are all supple. I know I'm a seed of the serpent, but somehow, because of my faith in Jesus being the seed of the woman, the only one that was the seed of the woman was Jesus. Because I believed in Him, His whole point in coming, the whole point that she's the mother of all living, is so that I could be living through faith in Him. Not through having my own. See, the faith teaching is wrong. The faith teaching feels that faith is a substance. It's something you can have, possess. I had faith, I got healed, you didn't have any, you didn't get healed. So they call it a subjective quality, something in the man himself. The Bible never teaches that way. So the faith teaching is wrong, because they talk as though it's subjective. I had faith. I got that Cadillac because I had faith. You got a Volkswagen because you didn't have any faith for a Cadillac. I got the cancer cured, you still have your goiter, you didn't have faith. It's something I have. It's subjective. Never, according to the Bible. You didn't get salvation because God owed it to you because you had faith. Hey, God, I have faith. See this here? Heal me. You owe me. No. It's always a free gift. Faith is always a free gift. It's never earned. I had something, so you owed me something. God, here, look at here. Here's my faith. Look at here. Did you see this faith? That is not the Bible teaching. The Bible teaching is that faith is in the promise. It's in the object. It's never in the subject. My faith is not a subjective thing I have. It's an objective thing I believe. I'm not believing in my faith. I'm believing in His faithfulness. You see the difference? Huge difference. That's why all the teaching today is erroneous, false, evil, satanic, serpent. Was I clear? Now, I'm not picking on those people. I'm not saying they're not Christian. I'm saying their teaching is heretical, evil, serpent. Why? Because they're making faith the faith of Jesus. I have the faith of Jesus. No. Like it's a subjective thing. He had it, now I got it. I'm passing it on to you. Listen to my tapes, read them, read my books, come to my meetings, and you'll get the faith too. I'm trying, I'm believing for my cold to go away. I'm believing for a Cadillac. I'm believing for, you're believing for what? As though you were believing and that's going to make it happen. According to your faith, be it done to you. Oh, I'm trying to get it. That puts doubt in people and it makes some people proud and other people depressed.
Actually, from what you say, this is the way all the prophets of old operated.
Right.
Because their faith is what God asked them to do or that God was there.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that gave them the power to do what they wanted.
That's all. It's always in a promise. Faith is never something you have. It's always something that comes from a promise you believe. The promise is outside. It's never in here. You know, if I'm believing for a healing and I don't have a word, that's called presumption. I read in the Bible, by His stripes we're healed. I'm going to believe for that. No, wait. You got to have a promise. Well, it's right here. By His stripes we're healed. Yes, but is that a promise to you today? Well, I'm applying it and I'm believing on that one. I'm going to believe on that one. And that's the testimony then. I believed on that. I stood on that verse and by golly, I got it. God owed it to me and I got it because I believed. I really believed. How many know that's false teaching? No. When God says by His stripes you're healed, it's a promise, but that's not a rhema word to me. Like if He would say to me, Jim, tomorrow morning when you wake up, I will heal you. Well, that'd be a promise. I could believe on that tomorrow morning. And I tell you, I wouldn't be working that up. If He said it, I would believe it. Jim, I'm going to heal your teeth. God, my teeth been falling apart. I feel them falling apart. Good crumbling and crushing. And so did everybody ever have that? Well, I'm not going to a dentist. I'm a man. I'm not going to go to a dentist. But it's not because it's God. It's just I'm a stupid person. I'm not going to do it. But I'm just going to live with my teeth falling apart. Okay? I'll get poisoned and die. Do you understand that? I mean, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you how stupid I am. But if Jesus said to me, Jim, I'm going to fill your teeth this afternoon, I would believe it. But I didn't hear Him say that. So I'm not believing it for anything. I'm just believing I'll probably die one of these days because the poison will come out of my mouth or something like this. And whatever you get. I just can feel it happening. I'm believing for that. But on the other hand, I have incredible faith that I'm not done yet, so I don't feel I will die probably. So, I don't really care if I do. It's a risk I take, but I don't care about it. Because I don't care. I don't care. Because I don't think it's subjective. I think it's objective. I think it's God. I think God's not done with me yet, and that I do believe in. I believe that God is not finished with me. So because I believe that, I'm confident all the time. Even though I'm stupid. I know I'm stupid. Somebody says, you're stupid. I know that. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I've just prayed for me that I'm an idiot. So on and so forth. Or, if I believed in the dentist and stuff like that, maybe. But I don't. I don't believe in them. So, I'm just gonna trust God. No, I don't want anyone to comment on the stupidity of me. But here's the thing, is I am a seed of viper until I believe on Jesus, and then I'm a seed of Eve. But I'm a seed of Eve because my believing is not something I'm subjectively doing, a quality of my soul, a quality of me. No. My belief is that Jesus said something in a promise, a word that's a promise, and I believe that. Jim, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I believe that. I'm not saying I believe it. I'm saying it, yes. But I'm not just saying it. I do believe that. I believe Jesus will not leave me, and I can't understand why He won't. But I know I believe in that. Barbara, I know I do. It's incredible to me. And that's why I'm happy. I don't even worry because I'm so confident that He won't leave me or forsake me, even though I do stupid things. Now, I'm still confident in that. And if I drop dead right now, that doesn't even bother me. That doesn't even interest me. What I'm interested in is that Jesus Christ will never leave me or forsake me. I don't care how stupid I am or how bad the world is or how it works. I don't even care about it. I have no fear any longer of anything between me and God. We're not at enmity. I have peace with God. I feel at peace. I totally feel peace because of His promise, not because of my faith in it. It isn't my faith in it that makes His promise. It's His promise that makes my faith. I'm going to say it again. It isn't my faith that makes His promise. It's His promise that makes my faith. And when I read something in the Bible, that's it. I mean, when I read it, I'm just convicted. If I would read something in there, it would scare me. Like, ooh, I don't know if I believe that one. Well, I better read that again. Like, for example, if somebody said, do you believe you're a seed of the serpent or do you believe you're a seed of Eve? I would have said Eve. No, I just didn't read the Bible. But when I read the Bible and I read, whoa, there's enmity between the serpent seed and Eve's seed. I thought I was Eve's seed. But the Bible didn't say I was Eve's seed. The Bible said I was carnally minded. I'm born in sin. I was conceived in sin. I'm totally sin. I'm serpent seed. And the only way I can become the seed of Eve is to get into Him, singular, the one that is. It's the only way. So I'm in. I do believe that. I do believe it. I do believe it. I'm not saying I believe it. I do believe it. Because of the promise. But before I read that, I thought I was Eve's seed. Somebody said, "Well, are you from Adam?" Yeah, yeah. Well, are you Eve's seed? Well, yeah, Adam and Eve. I got all mixed up on that. I didn't even read this scripture closely. Yet I've known that scripture from the beginning. I've always known that was the first preaching of the gospel in the Bible, Genesis 3:15. Always knew that. That was one of my favorite verses. I never read it. And I always noticed the it and the he and all that. But I never thought about that being singular. And I didn't think about the it and I didn't think about the he. That part, I skipped it over. Like, well, I don't know why he said it. I just never thought about it. And I don't know why he said he, singular. I didn't think about that. But the word enmity made me think about that. Now, wait a minute now. And I got all mixed up. I thought, wait a minute now, which one am I? I have to be Eve's seed. I'm not the serpent seed. Am I? So I decided to do a study throughout the Bible. And I'm sharing that study with you right now. All right, now, Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is that enmity, ekthra. E-C-H, ekthra. T-H-R-A. Ekthra. That's a Greek word, and it means enmity. The carnal mind is ekra, against God. God is against the carnal mind. The carnal mind is against God. Now, I'm going to do more and more on this. I'm just getting started. This is too powerful. For, here's the reason. Because the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. So now I know exactly what it is that makes a serpent. Anyone who's not subject to the law of God. Well, the only one that was subject to the law of God, Jesus. Abraham wasn't subject to the law of God. Moses wasn't subject to the law of God. He broke the law. I think everybody broke the law. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All means all means all. So there's only one seed of Eve who's alive, who's living. The mother of all living. Well, the all is just Jesus and anybody that's in Jesus. It's just Jesus and anybody that's injured. Well, where did Jesus get those antibodies? Well, we were all serpent seeds. And we had to believe to get into Jesus as a serpent seed. That's a kind of a humbling thought. That I have to admit I was a serpent seed to get into the all living. I don't like that idea. I'd like to think I was a neutral. And that I chose wrong and then I smarted up and I chose right. That's what I'd like to think. But I can't. That's not right. It's not what it says. It says, no, you were a serpent seed and you had to repent of that. Huh. Serpent seed. Well, yeah, I guess that's right. I mean, I have to think about that though, but yeah, that sounds right. And now I look at it, it is right. That is accurate of me. And that's a very humbling thing to carry around. But I have fresh evidence day by day. Now some days I like to think of myself as a nice person. I'm planting flowers in my yard, bushes, keeping the grass trim, picking up leaves. I pick up every leaf by hand. I have a blower, but I'm picking them all up out of every liriope and everything. I pick them out of every bush. I don't want one leaf in my yard. I'm going picking them all up. And it's a big yard, and it takes days and days and days to pick up all those leaves. I got a little system. But, you know, I take a little bucket, kind of a big bucket actually, and put all the leaves in there by hand. Then I go and dump them into a bag and come back and fill up a bag and take the bag and so on. So, but it takes a long time to do this. But I'm getting every leaf. And every night the wind blows and knocks some more leaves down. And I come out and I'm angry. I think I'm a good person because I'm cleaning up all those leaves. I feel like God likes me for that. I'm making heaven on earth. As in heaven, so on the earth. Well, I'm doing that, so God should be happy with me. So sometimes I think I'm a nice guy. Then other times I know I'm a scoundrel. But sometimes I think I'm nice. I just have to think that. And I'm doing so many little things around the house that I just feel like I'm nice. That's good. I'm not doing wrong. I'm cleaning things up. Sweep every day. I have to go out and sweep again, and it keeps getting more dust. That makes me quite angry, you know, because I'm trying to do a good thing, Colleen. And I like myself doing it. Just like Peggy does the dishes, so I'm outside, you know, rearranging the walks. And, you know, I got brick walks and decks and everything. I got it all fixed up. It's just like a park. But I can stand there at night and I'm proud of looking over the things. Boy, this was a good day's work. Got my bushes all trimmed, everything. It's nice. But you know what? God doesn't regard it that way. That's serpent work. Oh, man. You did that as a serpent. You're proud and so on and so forth. I guess it is, you know, but I don't know. I thought it was a good thing. I could live on that. I mean, I could actually waste my whole life doing that. I could picture myself not reading the Bible or anything, just out every day working on that. I can picture myself doing it. My fish like me. And I got frogs in my garden. That's a good thing. And the fish are eating all the mosquitoes. I mean, I think I'm doing good. I'm a good steward. But you know what? God doesn't look at it that way. He doesn't look at it that way. And I go out to the, you know, to the flower things, and I pick just the right flowers. And Dave buys them for me cheaply. So, you know, I put in my order again today. I'm spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on all kinds of plants and things. I'm making that just look like a park. Perfect. I want it to be perfect. Well, you know what? That's not of God. I mean, maybe it is, but I'm not sure. But God says, Jim, apart from me, you can do nothing. Then don't think that this is a good work. And, you know, be proud of what you did all day long. Even people irritate me when I'm out in the garden working and they're calling. They might have some problem, but I don't like them now. I'm working on this garden out here trying to get this thing done so I don't have to work on this thing all the time. Trying to get it so that it takes care of itself. And I resent them that, you know, somebody called me up. Hey, why you call me? I'm out in the garden. My hands are dirty, everything. Now, you know what I'm saying? We get caught up in stuff thinking we're doing a wonderful thing. And that's, unless you're in Jesus Christ, that's all that counts. I don't know if he's into the garden thing or not. I don't really know. But I would think of myself as being a good guy there. Well, I do some bad things, but look at all this good I did. I even told Peggy that. Peg, how many leaves have you picked up in this yard? Zero. Right. Do you realize, Peg, I've picked up every leaf. I think that makes up for all the dishes and stuff you did. So I let her know, you didn't pick up any leaves. See, I'm better. Didn't buy that at all. So I'll tell you what, you don't know what's good and what's bad. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, if you have a carnal mind, you can't please God because you're not Eve's seed and you're not believing in Him. So you can't please God without faith. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, and so on and so forth. So without faith, you can't please God. It's the same thing as saying without the Spirit. It's the same thing as saying if you're in the flesh. All right, now, let's go on to the next one. Ephesians 2. Ah, now you're really going to see something interesting here. Ephesians 2. All right. Verse 2. Wherein, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world. So, notice that the word walked here. Walk is not faith, is it? Walk is not faith. Here's what he says. In the times past, you, me, were a serpent. You walked in the course of this world. That's serpent. I'm not Eve's seed. I'm not alive. I didn't have faith. In times past, sometime in the past, you, all of you, everybody, Paul is saying, everybody, including himself, we all walked in the course of this world. Listen, comma. According to the prince of the power of the air. So, you walked according to the prince of the power of the air. What is that? Satan. The devil. You, it's talking to me. This is humbling to me. You, Jim, you once, and everybody, you once walked in the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. That's the devil. He's talking about the devil. Wow. That's humbling. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Ah. Now, children of the serpent, children of disobedience, carnally minded, not of Christ, not having faith, etc., etc. I get it. Not of Eve. Not the child of Eve. Eve is the opposite. There's enmity between the woman and the serpent. The woman and her seed and his seed. It's the woman, Eve. There it is. I'm not talking about Adam here. I'm talking about this woman. You've got to get into Eve. You got to get out of Adam into Eve. And her seed, Jesus. So the seed of Eve is Jesus. Eve has a child. It's not Cain and Abel and Seth and all those people. It's Jesus. That's amazing to you. That is so crazy to me. I can't get that out of that verse. But the more I read, I'm beginning to see, wait a minute. Yeah, she just has one child. That's what it said. I didn't notice that before. I thought she had Cain and Abel, and then Abel was killed because he was a good guy. And then Seth was born, so he's another good guy, and so on. Yes, yes, but the reason why they're good is because they have faith in her seed. They weren't the seed. They weren't the seed. I thought they were the seed. They weren't. They're the seed of serpents. What? But they had faith. Yes, that's right. So they had faith in her seed. They're not carnally minded now. They had faith in her seed. That's why they are not going to stay serpent seed. That's why the seed came, was to get people out of the serpent seed into the Eve seed. Isn't that amazing? So the devil is trying to sow something in this world, and we have to, we're born that way. We're born in sin, conceived in sin. We got to get out of that. We got to get into Jesus. So the whole point of life is get into Jesus. The one child that she has. I didn't even know she had a child named Jesus. According to the Bible, that's her only son. Everybody else has to get in by faith. They can't get in by nature. She didn't birth them by nature. Of course, all the children of this world are in Eve. They all come from Eve. How many know? Every child in the world comes from Eve. Everybody comes from Eve, Adam and Eve. But you know what? We're all, and the one that only came from woman, Jesus. He didn't have a father. He didn't have an earthly father. He had a heavenly father. Not Adam. The rest of us are in Adam. That's why we're in serpent's seed. Wow. Jesus is the only one that was born without Adam. He wasn't in Adam. He's a second Adam. He comes later. He's the spiritual that follows the natural. And the only hope for the natural is to get into the spiritual. But look how God puts it. The only hope for the serpent seed is to become Eve's seed through faith. Because she only has one son. She doesn't have 15,000 million sons. She has one. Wow. Now, watch this. In verse 3, I'm just going to jump down to the last part of the verse. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath. There it is. We. It didn't say you. We. Paul included himself. Paul was a child of wrath. Paul included himself. We were all children of wrath. Children of serpents. Children without hope. Children without faith. There was no hope except for that one baby. That one boy. That one he. Who will crush. Whoever that guy is, he'll crush the serpent's head. If the head is crushed, what's going to happen to me? Get into Jesus. Otherwise, you'll perish too. If he crushes the head, then all of his children will be crushed. So get into Jesus. Make him your head. Hey, I'm going to get into the one that the serpent bit. Who survived the serpent's bite. Well, so if a snake bites you, you're in trouble. Because that's sending poison right through your whole system. And if it's a black mamba, you only got minutes. If it's a rattlesnake, you got an hour or so. But whatever it is, you don't have a lot of time. I mean, within a few hours, any snake bite's going to get you. I mean, the poisonous snakes. Thank God we don't have too many poisonous snakes here in Texas. There's only three. Copperhead, coral snake, and rattlesnake. And the only nice one is the rattlesnake. The water moccasin? We got four? Oh, man. I got to watch it now. So, you know, the problem, I like the rattlesnake because he makes a little noise before he bites you. But the little coral snake, he's so little and pretty, he might bite me without my knowing it because he's supple. Woo! And the copperhead, you can be walking through the field and the copperhead can strike you, you don't even know it. And all of a sudden you got a big brown spot in the back of your leg or something and you've been bit and you don't even know it. Well, what's this? Your skin starts to just fall apart. So you got to be careful of these poisonous snakes, but sooner or later you're going to die. But sometimes it takes a little while. But some snakes are really fast. Those black mambas, they are so fast that a human being can be running and the mamba can run after you and then he can jump up and bite you in the head. Yeah, is in Africa, where Robert's from. Man, they put little like rats in their cage and then the mamas go, they get right up like this and they're watching that little rat, and the little rat is kind of, you know, and then all of a sudden that thing will, choom, they'll come down and stun the thing. And in about 4 seconds, that little rat will go, da 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 da. Then they go down and they get it. They just swallow it. Oh, now, there's two in the cage I was watching, and so they put two little rats in there. And they each get one. And then it takes them quite a while to, you know, munch that thing down, put them inside. And the snake's only this thick and the rat's this thick, you know, but they can munch them up. This little, you can see the little thing going down. The serpent's seed, that's us. We're serpents. I don't like to think of myself like that. But that's the way the Bible thinks of it. Jim, the only way out, to stop being a serpent, you got to believe in Jesus. Eve seed. That's the hope. Eve seed. Got to get the Eve seed. I don't care what you do. Get the Eve seed. Y'all see this? Very powerful. All right, now watch this. Children of wrath. Verse 8. I'm skipping all the neat things, but I don't want to go into those right now. For by grace you are saved through faith, but not of yourselves. You see, here's where Copeland is wrong.